You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
There's nothing like a shaggy dog, baby. They're shagadelic. And this is the place to find out how to achieve harmony in the household with your pets. Yeah, peace, harmony, pet power. Holy shih tzu, baby. You'll learn how to keep your pets from chewing your shoes or eating your cat. It's all about relationships, baby. You and your pet... pet. So tune in, turn on, and get ready for the positively grooviest pet podcast on the planet. Ooh, that's a lot of peas, baby, isn't it?
What's this show called?
Oh, Behave!
No, really, what's this show called?
Oh, Behave! With your shagadelic host, Arden Moore. What's happening, Arden? Yeah, baby, yeah. Tell us.
Welcome to the Oh, Behave show on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. Today's show is dedicated to the golden oldies. Now, I'm not talking about the songs from the 50s, but rather our senior pets. And helping me today to offer some ageless advice on how to cater to those gray-muzzled dogs and those cats that never seem to show any signs of age is a very special friend and pet expert, Kim Campbell Thornton. For those news hounds listening in, Kim writes the Creature Comforts column for MSNBC.com. She's also written more than 24 books on pets, including Simple Solution Senior Dogs, the Everything Dog Health Book, Your Aging Cat, and my personal favorite, just because I grew up with one named Crackers as a kid, The Complete Idiot's Guide to Beagles. So let's unleash some tail wags and plenty of purrs for this animal advocate, Kim Campbell Thornton. Welcome to the show, Kim.
Thanks, Arden. Glad to be here.
I'm glad you're here, too. We're going to talk a little bit more about some ageless advice on senior pets right after we take these messages.
Would you like to go out? Well, actually, I was talking to your owner. I meant on a date, baby. Yeah, you and me. Oh, Behave! We'll be right back after these groovy, shagadelic messages. Oh, yeah.
School's in session on Pet Life Radio with Teacher's Pet. Learn how to communicate with your pet, train your pet, and see the world from your pet's point of view. You may even learn a few tricks yourself. Teacher's Pet with pet expert and author Sarah Wilson. Only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Pets are part of the family, and when traveling with your dog, there's only one magazine to include when packing your doggy's duffel bag, and that's Fido Friendly, the travel and lifestyle magazine for you and your dog. Each bi-monthly issue includes hotel, city, and state reviews, and doggy destinations to explore with your furry companion. Fido Friendly magazine can be found at Borders, Barnes & Noble, PetSmart, Pet Boutiques, and Fido Friendly hotels nationwide. Or you can go online to subscribe at www.fidofriendly.com. So get traveling with your pet today and leave no dog behind. And remember, Fido Friendly's the only magazine dedicated to the travel lifestyle of man's best friend and the one magazine your dog will thank you for.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
We're switched back on, baby. Yeah, so let's talk pets with our smashing host, pet edutainer Arden Moore, and the groovy show that's cool, baby. Really shagadelic. Oh, Behave!
Welcome back. You're tuned in to the Oh, Behave show on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. Today's topic is the grain of America, specifically our dogs and cats. And I wanted to start with a little bit of trivia to test the timeless nature of our listeners. Can any of you think of the name of the true Methuselahs of the world of pets? The oldest dog on record, believe it or not, was an Australian cattle dog by the name of Bluey. He lived to be 29 years and 5 months. Now, if any of you are doing the math, and you're better at it than I am, that would be the equivalent of a human being living to 203 years of age. Wow, That would put most centarians, you know, made them look like babes. Now, for the cats, the feline record holder was a cool cat named Puss from Great Britain, who lived to be 36 years old in cats. And again, for those getting their calculators out, for people, that would be the equivalent of living to be 162 years old. Now, helping us to better understand how to care for our aging dogs and cats today is my ageless guest, Kim Campbell Thornton. And Kim, I won't be asking your age on this show, I promise you. But I wanted to ask you, you know, we both have had our share of golden oldie pets in our lives, and we write about them a lot. Is there some things that you can start off to help our listeners better understand what's going on? Why are our pets seeming to be getting older and older these days?
We're really lucky these days that our dogs and cats have such long lifespans. It's not unusual for some of them to live 15 years or more, and mm-hmm. I think we can safely say that a lot of that's related to advances in veterinary care. We've got better anesthesia and better pain meds and things like pet rehab and massage. We keep our cats indoors and we keep our dogs on leash. We've got better mm-hmm. food. So, you know, I think all of those play a role.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, I was very lucky to have a cat named Little Guy, whose nickname was Dude, who lived to be almost 20 years old. I'm thinking of all the milestones that have happened in those 20 years. I moved 9 times, and no, listeners, I wasn't a felon trying to run from the law, but I lived in 3 or 4 different states, and Little Guy joined me in all those moves. I mean, I was a newspaper reporter, then I worked for a publishing house, and now I do this pet show and I write books on pets. I'm just thinking, in 20 years, did you ever have a pet live that kind of a length, Kim?
Actually, my cat Shelby lived to be 19 years old, so
wow.
She had about the same lifespan. My cat Peter, who was diagnosed with diabetes when he was 5, lasted till he was 15.
That's pretty incredible.
Yeah, I've been really lucky with my pets. Right now I live with a golden girl and a getting to be a golden girl. Bella, she's going to be 12 in January. And Twyla, we think, is about 7 years old. And my bird is 20 years old.
Oh, my God. Is that Pandora or whom?
The bird?
Yeah,
the bird
which bird?
That's Larry Bird.
Oh, Larry. Oh, should get. Yeah. Yeah, I'm an Indiana person. I should guess that. Larry Bird.
We got him during the playoffs 20 years ago.
The Celtics. Yeah. Very good. So. My guess is the bird at 20 is considered basically more of still a youngster in bird years, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, he's at least middle-aged.
Okay.
But he's in great shape and going strong.
But with the dogs, is there a guideline that that people could be considered? When does a dog or a cat reach this senior status, if you will?
When it comes to age or showing age, animals are pretty individual. But the general rule is that small dogs start showing age later and they live longer than mm-hmm. large or giant breed dogs.
Okay.
So a small dog might not start seeming to be old till he's 10 years old or so. And your Irish wolfhound might be old at 6 and dead by 8.
Wow.
So, you know, I met a Yorkie Maltese mix at the vets the other day who was 19.
Really?
And it's not unusual for, say, toy poodles to live to be 19 or 20 years old.
Yeah, I noticed that when I was ready to almost hit my half-century mark, the AARP membership card came to my mailbox 6 months before that birthday, which was kind of a bummer. But I don't think there's any ARF cards given out for pets that are, you know, reaching senior status yet. But who knows? We love our pets so much, I wouldn't be surprised if that doesn't happen. But you made a good point. It's in dogs, it seems like the bigger the dog, the quicker they age. I'm looking, and I have 2 dogs that are both, we guess, 5 years old, but one's 60 pounds and one's 12 pounds. So if we did the math, I guess the little dog will be kind of more middle-aged longer than the big dog, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
But your dogs are Bella and Twyla. They're the beautiful Cavalier King Charles Spaniels. For anybody out there, those are the dogs with those beautiful, just pet me brown eyes, and they just fit into anybody's lap. I have never met such a sweet breed of dog. But what's the story with Bella? How at age 12, what are you doing to keep her golden years truly golden ones?
Well, Bella is just amazing to me and her breeder.
Mm-hmm.
She runs around like a puppy. And you would not know that she was almost 12 years old. I have steps for her up to the furniture, so she ignores them a lot of the time. But they're there if she needs them. And mm-hmm. I usually carry her up and down the stairs because when she does get a little too active, she has a tendency to throw out her back. So I try to give her a break on the stairs.
Okay. Is there certain foods you serve her, or do you do any kind of therapeutic massage?
Well, you know, when it comes to diet, I have always operated on the principle that if the animal is healthy and doesn't have any health problems that require a special diet, then they can just stay on their regular food, mm-hmm. Assuming you're feeding a high-quality diet.
Yes.
Massage, well, she gets petted all the time because she demands that. So lots of belly rubs.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, so far I haven't really found the need to do anything extraordinary to keep her comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
She's a very young 12-year-old dog.
Wow. I bet she might be one day. Wouldn't that be something she challenged Bluey, the dog that lived to be 29 years old, in the record
that
book?
That is my goal.
There you go. If you're in that household, in the Kim Campbell Thornton household, listeners, you're probably going to do pretty well. She's got a bird that's over 20, and she had a cat that lived to be 19. So I think the odds are in a pet's favor to age gracefully in your home. Maybe I should live there, too. Maybe I'll age gracefully.
When we had our greyhound, she was diagnosed with bone cancer at 10 and a half, and she ended up living to 13. So we do like to think that maybe there's something special in the air here.
Yeah, and you're like 100 years old, aren't you, Kim? I mean, I don't think people realize
I'm
that.
I'm only 19.
Oh, 19, okay, in bird years or whatever.
Right, exactly.
When we're thinking about our pets, I know that there's a new trend these days to encourage people to get senior wellness exams for their cats and dogs. And can you talk a little bit about that and why? What's the big deal? Why can't we just take our pets once a year to the vets? And what's the senior wellness all about?
Well, first of all, it gives you a baseline as far as kidney and liver values and that kind of thing. So you want to make sure that those are good as your pet is starting the senior years.
Okay.
And also, there was a study on pet longevity, and unfortunately, I don't remember the details of who did it, but it showed that 16% of dogs and 20% of cats had early, not yet noticeable signs of diseases that were diagnosed through an exam and routine lab work. So
wow.
If you can catch those things early, then you can start treating them sooner, and usually it doesn't mm-hmm. cost as much to treat them as it would if you didn't find out until the disease was full-blown.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's one really good reason for maybe taking your older pet in twice a year instead of once a year. Pets do age more quickly than we do.
I was looking at a chart. There's some veterinary experts that actually have, you know, we seem to just assume that 1 year in a dog or cat's life is equivalent to 7 years in human life. And I found out in doing some research that's just not the case. With cats, for example, a 1-year-old cat is roughly equal to like a 15-year-old person, and then a 2-year-old becomes kind of similar to someone like 24 years old. But then after that, it seems to go up in 4-year increments. So I have right now a 12-year-old cat, which would be 64 years old. But yet with dogs, like you were mentioning, Kim, it's really more about the size and the breed of the dog where the age is. Because, for example, Chipper, my dog, is 60 pounds and 5 years old, and my little Cleo is 12 pounds. If we looked at this age chart, Cleo's actually, quote, 36 years old, and Chipper, with the same age at 5, would be more like a 40-year-old for people.
Mm-hmm.
So what's your thoughts on that sort of age charts and getting rid of this notion that 1 year of a pet's life is equal to 7 years in a human life?
Well, I think the main thing to take away from that is whether it's 4 years or 7 years, however you're calculating it, your pet mm-hmm. is aging faster than you are every year
okay.
by multiple years. And so that is why you need to have them seen more often, because they are going to to show signs of disease more quickly as they age.
Yeah. Now, what are some of the diseases that you've noticed that in some of your senior pets that that they can be at risk for?
Well, there's cancer. You're always more prone to cancer as you age, whether you're a person or a dog or a cat. Arthritis. Kidney disease is really common in dogs and cats. Those might be the big three. Oh, diabetes is another one.
Oh, yeah.
Especially
yeah.
if your pet is overweight. That can really contribute to diabetes.
Yeah, my cat Callie, I jokingly give her a nickname of K-Cal for calories. So I have to be kind of careful. She's 12, almost 13, and I haven't taken her in twice a year to get her checkup, and so far, so good. You know, she isn't diabetic, but she won't be the poster child of fit felines, and so I have to work on that.
Are you working on giving her a more high-protein diet? You know, they're
doing
that Atkins diet with diabetic cats.
Oh, yeah, you're right, because the last thing I want to do is have to inject her with insulin. And I think you're right, the more protein, the better. She gets the kitty caviar as treats, you know, that it's all fish. And to me, that should be helping her joints, too. So I pay a lot of attention to what is on the label and the back of treats and food for my dogs and cats. And if it doesn't have a real meat as the first ingredient, I don't even put that item in my shopping cart. So I know it may be a little bit more out-of-pocket expense for me to buy quality treats and food, but I'm hoping that the benefit is that my pets get to be healthier longer.
I think that's great, and I think it's also smart to avoid treats with a lot of salt or sugar in them, too.
They're not good for us,
and I'm sure that they're not good for them either.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, some of their treats look so meaty, tasty that I'm ready to leap right in. But, you know, I try to restrain myself, you know. Can't help it all the time. When it comes to our pets, we talked a little bit about some of the medical conditions that can happen. But, you know, I swear that little guy was getting to be senile as he was getting older. What's your take on some of the cognitive dysfunctions that could happen to dogs and cats?
Well, you know, they have an acronym for the signs that you'll see if your dog or cat is showing signs of kitty or doggy Alzheimer's. It's called DISH.
What we're going to do is we're going to diss our listeners for just a second and take a commercial break, and then we're going to come back with Kim Campbell-Thornton, and she's going to divulge what the DISH acronym stands for. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Would you like to go out?
Well, actually, I was talking to your owner. I meant on a date, baby. Yeah, you and me.
Oh, behave. We'll be right back after these groovy, shagadelic messages. Oh, yeah.
Attention, passengers. Please fasten your seatbelts, put your seatbacks and sleeping pets in their full upright position, and prepare for takeoff.
Pet Life Radio presents Travel Tales, the show where you'll get great travel ideas on perfect places for you and your pet. From Paris to paradise, south of the border to the South Seas, Travel Tales will give you cool tips on fun vacation destinations to travel with your pet, pet-friendly hotels, and advice on how to travel safely and happily with your furry best friends. So, get ready to pack the bags and the bones with your Travel Tales hosts, Susan Sims and Nicholas Veslowski, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
We're switched back on, baby. Yeah, so let's talk pets with our smashing host, pet edutainer Arden Moore, and the groovy show that's cool, baby. Really shagadelic. Oh, behave!
Welcome back. You're listening to the Oh Behave Show. I'm your host, Arden Moore. Today, we're speaking about ways to be kind and considerate to those golden oldies, tail waggers, and purr monsters, our dogs and our cats, and We were just about talking about the issue of cognitive dysfunction. Boy, that's a big word. It basically means that, yes, dogs and cats, just like people, can become a little senile as they get older. And Kim Campbell Thornton, she does the Creature Comforts column for MSNBC.com. She's written more than 24 books on dogs and cats. She lives in Southern California with a couple of cool dogs and an ageless bird. And Kim, you were just starting to talk about what DISH stands for, the D-I-S-H. I guess it's sort of a test to determine just whether or not the cognitive functionality, if you will, of our aging dogs and cats. So go ahead, Kim. Take it away.
Well, some of the things you might see are disorientation. So there's your D. So maybe the cat seems to not know where he is, or the dog.
You mean that's when they're like kind of, I saw my cat seeming to be lost and unable to get out of a corner.
Exactly. Our cat, yeah. Peter the Gray, used to do that. He would walk into a corner and he couldn't get out, or he'd go behind something and he couldn't figure out how to get out.
Okay.
So that's disorientation. They might have less interaction with you. Say when you come home from work, your dog or cat usually meets you at the door, and he's not doing that anymore.
Okay.
That could be a sign of it.
It's not a sign that he's just mad at you, right?
Right.
Okay. All right.
Or sleeping more.
Okay.
So, yes, cats sleep a lot anyway, but all your cat is doing is sleeping and getting up maybe twice to go eat and then going right back to sleep. That's probably not a good sign.
Okay.
And then H is for house soiling. So if your perfectly house-trained or litter box-trained animal starts going in the house, that's a possibility that, or a sign that his cognitive function is going off the rails.
Okay, so what can we do about that if we're noticing that our dog or our cat is displaying any or all of these DISH signs?
There are some medications that sometimes help, I think in maybe 30% of the cases.
Mm-hmm.
So you can talk to your veterinarian about those and give them a try. You can make it easier for your cat to get into the litter box. You might,
and how's that?
You know, build a little ramp into the litter box if he's having trouble climbing over. You might move it to a more convenient spot. Or if your dog is having issues, you might put in a doggy door. Or I was just looking at a catalog today, and they have little patches of fake grass that you can have in your house for the dog to use. And they have, you know, a tray underneath that pulls out so you can clean it easily.
You don't want to bring your lawnmower in there to trim that grass.
You don't want to do that.
Okay. Then your cognitive dysfunction is probably at risk.
Yes.
Okay. And what about antioxidants? I know there's pet supplements out there. Do you think they might have any kind of benefit?
I believe that there aren't any studies proving that conclusively yet, but it's one of those things that is being studied, and it's also one of those things that it can't hurt to try.
Okay. You write the column, Creature Comforts, How Appropriate, for MSNBC.com. Are there some things that we can do to provide additional comforts for our aging dogs and cats?
I always think that a heated bed is a good thing. Dogs and cats get arthritis. Cats especially get spinal arthritis.
Oh,
and,
wow.
You know how good a heating pad feels when So I'm quite sure that that would be helpful for dogs and cats, too.
Well, it seems like you get
like
the blood flow.
I always like someplace warm.
Yeah, you get the blood flow going and all that with the warmth.
I like ramps or steps up to the furniture. Glucosamine and chondroitin supplements can help.
Okay.
Again, it's one of those things that there aren't any studies proving it conclusively, but anecdotally, they really do seem to help a lot. So that's definitely something to look into.
All right. That sounds good. I mean, I think, you know, when you think about it, they've really been with us a long time. Like you and I have both experienced, and I'm sure our listeners have too. We sometimes get blessed with a pet that can live a long time, and they become our milestones, don't you think, in what we've done in our life? They're the ones that seem to be always there. We may switch jobs, locations, gosh, even spouses, but often you can sometimes have a pet that lives through many of those transitions.
Absolutely. You know, a lot of times when I try to remember something, it's always associated with, well, that's when I got Bella, or that was the year that, you know, we got Shelby. Mm-hmm. So, or that was when Peter was diagnosed with diabetes. So definitely they help us remember milestones in our lives.
Do you have any special advice for people that when, I don't mean to be a bummer conversation, but I know when it was time for little guy that I had an at-home euthanasia, and I had it with my veterinarian and all my pets in the room, and as sad as that sounds, it to me it seemed like it helped the goodbye, if you will, for the other pets that had bonded with little guy. What's your thoughts about at-home euthanasias, or any how to decide when it is time for that pet to kind of go to the rainbow bridge, as they call it?
I think as far as deciding when it's time, you really have to look at quality of life, and mm-hmm. that is just going to be so individual with our gray, and it always seems to come very quickly. You know, one day they seem fine, and then the next day you can tell, oh, we're really getting close to the end. With our greyhound, she suddenly lost bladder control. And I mm-hmm. think that's very distressing for dogs and cats who know that they're not supposed to have accidents in the house. I think it's very distressing for them when that starts to happen and they can't control it. Savannah didn't want to eat anymore, and she loved to eat. You know, she was the epitome of the chow hound.
Okay.
And so those are things to look at. You know, if your pet it just isn't comfortable anymore, you know, doesn't seem happy with you, doesn't really like to be petted, maybe he's just always in pain, then I think you need to start thinking about letting him go and not dragging it out. As far as at-home euthanasia, I think that can be a really good option for people. When we lost Darcy last year, we didn't do it at home. That just didn't work out that way. And I didn't realize quite how much it was going to affect Bella and Twyla. They were very, very depressed.
Let me say for the listeners, Darcy was a beautiful tricolored Cavalier King Charles Spaniel, and Bella and Twyla are also of the same breed, so you had a terrific trio there for a while.
I did, and finally it occurred to me to let them sniff the little clip of hair that we had taken from Darcy,
mm-hmm.
and they were so interested in that, and they sniffed it and sniffed it for a really long time, and that really seemed to help them somehow realize that she was gone.
Well, I know with little guy, we had Callie and Murphy, the kitties, and Cleo and Chipper in the room when the veterinarian came. He's a great guy. I've had him for a number of years. And as sad as that is, to me, I couldn't have had a better send-off for a cat that had been in my life almost 20 years. So I do encourage people to really give that some consideration, especially if you have other pets in the household. That said, though, Darcy's legacy is living on, right? There is a Darcy Fund, and I was hoping you could take this time to describe what the fund's all about and if people are interested how they could possibly make a donation.
Well, Darcy had mitral valve disease, which is a form of heart disease that's common in Cavaliers. Actually, Bella and Twyla have it too, but Darcy, it hit at a very early age, and it progressed very quickly in her. And so we set up the Darcy Fund to finance research into the causes of the disease and hopefully treatments someday. And we set it up through the American Cavalier King Charles Spaniel Club Charitable Foundation. So it is a 501c3 organization. And so far, we are funding two studies, one at the University of Pennsylvania Vet School and one in Scotland.
Wow.
So those are both, I think, looking into the genetics of the disease.
Okay.
So we're hoping that we can find out how it's transmitted genetically and see where we can go with that.
I'd like at this time to be able to mention the website where people can learn more about the Darcy Fund. Do you have that handy?
ACKCSC.org.
Okay. And that stands for the American Cavalier King Charles Spaniel, right?
Yes. Club.
Okay. club. There's a C. All right. Well, we're hoping, too, on the Obehave Pet Life Radio Show on your guest page, I hope you do include that link as well, in addition to the MSNBC.com Creature Comforts column.
Yes.
Because we'd like to be able to honor the memory of Darcy. And, hey, you know what? Darcy may be one of these dogs that someday be able to help other dogs through these kinds of research studies.
Well, Darcy would have liked that because she loved everybody, including other dogs.
That's great. That's great. Is there anything else you'd like to mention? I don't know if there's a new book you have out that maybe we can have people run and buy dozens and dozens of copies of.
You know, I think you mentioned probably the best three. So
okay. You're talking the Simple Solutions Senior Dogs, correct?
Yes.
The Everything Dog Health book. And you have your aging cat
guide to beagles.
Oh yeah, you know, that's right.
You know, I believe your aging cat is out of print. However, there is your new cat.
Oh, okay, that's your latest book. You've written how many books have you written now?
I believe it's 24.
Oh my gosh.
That's how many I was able to count on my shelves.
That's pretty impressive, folks. I think she has won the contest. I've written 18 pet books. She's written 24. So you get the trophy for having the world's strongest typing fingers amongst the two of us. We are listening to Kim Campbell Thornton. She is a pet expert and someone who really, really appreciates and does her best to help pets of all ages. She is in Southern California. She does the column Creature Comforts for MSNBC.com. And she's also a good friend of mine. And is there anything else you'd like to add before we sign off, Kim?
Well, you know what? This has more to do with puppies, but I always think it's a good idea to realize what your dog is going to be like when it's grown up and when it's old. And when we got a greyhound, she was a great condo dog, and it never occurred to us that we might have to carry her up and down the stairs when she got old.
Oh, good point.
Something to think about when you get a puppy.
Make sure you fast forward to what the scenario might be like later on.
Right.
Okay. Well, you are listening to Pet Life Radio. The show is Obehave. I'm your host, Arden Moore. I want to thank my guest, Kim Campbell Thornton, for being here and sharing some ageless advice for our senior dogs and cats, and also my very cool producer for making this show possible. If you'd like to know a little bit more about this show or get a transcript or any other show on Pet Life Radio, you can just go to PetLifeRadio.com. and click on the Obehave Show. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas for show, please send me an email at arden@petliferadio.com. So, until next time, this is your flea-free host, Arden Moore, delivering just two words for all you 2-, 3-, and 4-leggers out there. Obehave!
There's nothing like a shaggy dog, baby. They're shagadelic. And this is the place to find out how to have harmony in the household with your pets. Oh, yeah. So stop by our pad every week and get switched on, baby. Switched on to the show that's all about attitude. Oh, behave. With your groovy host, pet edutainer Arden Moore. Yeah, baby, yeah. Every week on demand on PetLifeRadio.com.